Wake-up call, WTLS, score 94, Fun 101. Ronnie McDowell, the Red, White, and Blue Tour, coming to Tallahassee Saturday night. And it's our great pleasure to bring on Ronnie this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Ronnie. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm live and in color this morning.
What did you tell me? You said you slept like a rock last night and woke up in a creek?
That's what I...
Where do you stay, Ronnie? I'm curious to know where you... I know you make the rounds on this tour and stuff, but where do you live?
Well, in 1987, Michael, I was up in my hometown of Portland, Tennessee, which is about 20 miles from Hendersonville. And one day I got this phone call, and this voice said, "Hey, you need to get down here closer to me." Well, I'd been on the road with him for 8 years, Conway Twitty. And so the next day, Michael, and this is actually what happened, I came down to Hendersonville, and I pulled up in this driveway, and this guy was standing there. And I didn't know that the house was 18-2. And I said, "Hey, you wouldn't want to sell this place, would you?" And he said, "Son, I'm getting a divorce, and I'll sell it to you today." Michael, I bought it the next day, and I'm still here because of Conway Twitty.
Wow. You work with him a little bit. And, you know, I was looking at your long repertoire of music. There's so many great songs you've done over the years. And you guys teamed up on It's Only Make Believe on a remake in the 1980s.
Well, we actually did twice in 1980. He said, "Ronnie, be down at the studio at 2:00. So when Conway Twitty tells you come to the studio, you go."
Yeah.
So I went, and he said, "I've written an intro to It's Only Make Believe. Me and you going to do it." And it starts off. Now, this is what he wrote. "I play this at every show. I wouldn't take nothing for this." And he starts it off. He goes, "Ronnie, you and I have been buddies for a long time now." And that's the first thing he says. And I wouldn't take anything for that. And then we do It's Only Make Believe the way he originally did it. Well, in 1987, a lot of people don't know this, but my band was the Kentucky Headhunters.
Oh, really?
For 8 years.
I had no idea.
Yeah, for eight years. And so I had an idea to do It's Only Make Believe up tempo. So we recorded it, and Conway was at a studio, and he played it, and he jumped up, and he said, "That's a hit, Ronnie." I said, "But Conway, I want you to sing on it." And he said, "You don't need me on that." But I talked him into it, and when it got in the top five, my phone rang, and he goes, "Ronnie, I've been thinking about it, and you did need me on that record."
Yeah, I can turn it down. You know, and you bring in Paulette Carlson, but also Jeff Bates, who, if you listen to him sing, he sounds so much like Conway. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, and I sit in the back at every show, and I close my eyes, and I go, "Lord, my little buddy Jeff sounds more like Conway than Conway."
Yeah, he's pretty solid. Enjoyed talking with him. We're going to have him on this week and Paulette to talk about this concert coming to Tallahassee again Saturday night. Talk about how you got into the business. You know, it's interesting that the first song you had was a big hit, not only on the country charts, but the pop charts, "The King Is Gone," a tribute to Elvis. And you have done work because you can basically, if he can become, Jeff can become Conway, you can become Elvis with your voice. You were on the soundtrack to the movie Elvis in 1979. So talk about how that came about.
Well, it's very interesting. I walked by this after that record came out, "The King Is Gone." I walked by this door, and this lady said, "Come in here, Ronnie." And it was May Axton, and she wrote "Heartbreak Hotel." And I was so excited because I'm a history nut, and I love that I'm coming to the Mount Vernon Theater because I love history, and it was built in the 30s. And I love the history that you told me about your radio station and your grandfather.
Sure.
In 1954. I'm a history nut. I just love that. And May said, "Ronnie, you need to record it's a Heartbreak Hotel for your King Is Gone album." Well, I didn't really want to do that because I'm a songwriter. And I during that time period from 72 to 77, I just got out of Vietnam in 72. I'm a 3-term combat veteran of the Vietnam War and dang proud of it, 68, 69, 72. And then when I got out, I wrote songs for everybody, Porter Wagoner, Jeannie Shepherd, the Wilburn Brothers, And I was having a ball writing songs. Of course, Elvis passed, and then I wrote The King Is Gone. And she said I should put Heartbreak Hotel on there. Well, I didn't want to do that, yeah. But she talked me into it, and thank goodness she did, because Dick Clark heard that version. And when I did American Bandstand, he said, Ronnie, I'm doing a movie starring Kurt Russell, and I want you to be Elvis's voice. Well, I did 38 songs in that movie being Elvis Presley's voice, the biggest star that's ever been on planet Earth. And that's the truth to me, because I'm a history nut. And, you know, he surpasses Elizabeth Taylor. It doesn't matter. It's like John Tesh said one day on Entertainment Tonight. He said, there are stars and there are stars. And then there's Elvis.
Yeah. Wow. And
so isn't that the truth?
Oh, yeah. Still today, I mean, good gosh, it's coming up on the 50th anniversary of his passing. You know what I'm saying? And golly.
Yeah.
He's still as big as ever, it's almost like, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it is. And 2 weeks ago, I was watching Fox News, and President Trump was on there, and they asked him, said, Mr. Trump, you've had your wish. You became president twice. Do you have another wish? And he goes, yeah, I'd like to be Elvis.
Nobody bigger than Elvis. That's true. Yeah. Not even Trump himself. You know, you when you started, just really getting on the scene with your music, you were just you putting out hit after hit. What was that like from pretty much, the early part of the 80s to the end of that decade?
Well, I mean, I'm like George Bailey. I've had the most wonderful life. And that's the truth, Michael, I tell you. When I had older women, had wandering eyes before that, written by Jamie O'Hara. Then Jamie came up to me, and me and Buddy Killen, an Alabama boy from Killen, Alabama, Buddy and I were going to the studio, and I want you to know Jamie O'Hara stopped me on the way down there, and he said, Ronnie, you've got to record older women. And I said, Jamie, I've already told you, I just don't think women want to be known as older. Now, here's what happened. So he said, Ronnie, I'm 30 years old. My girlfriend's 38, and I know what I'm talking about. And I said, Jamie, all right, play it for me one more time with a guitar. So he did. I said, okay, we're going to try it. Here's how fate is a hunter. It will find you. So I'll go in with the Jordanaires, the original Jordanaires.
Okay.
Michael, I want you to know this. This is how things happen. We did that one time, one take. I go in, Buddy stood up, and he goes, what else do we need to do? And I said, Buddy, I don't even know that song. He said, listen, number one record.
Cali. One time. One take and nothing
one
else.
One take.
That's amazing.
One take, and that was it. And then, of course, I performed You're Gonna Ruin My Bad Reputation on Hee Haw. I debuted it. And in the cornfield, Roy Acuff, you know, we sang that song. I've searched the world over and I thought I found true love. You met another and you were gone.
Yes.
Who doesn't know that song?
I know it, yes.
And Roy Acuff came up to me after the show, and he goes, son, you know that song you debuted tonight? I said, yes, sir. And he said, that's going to be a number one record for you. And, you know, it was. And so my point to that is Roy Acuff had a good ear, didn't he?
No doubt. I've got the hit book from Joel Whitburn, the top country hits, and because of its length on the charts, it was number one. You've had several number ones, but it is kind of recognized as maybe your biggest hit. And I know everybody would say your signature tune probably is Older Women, but this one is just as successful as that one, based on chart performance at least.
Yeah, and like I say, I've just been the most blessed soul on the planet. I mean, when I was telling you earlier, you know, I lied to my dad and I went to see King Creole. Because I told him it was a monster movie. What if somebody, and I was just 8 years, to this day, I still can't believe I went to the movie by myself, Michael, but I did at 8 years old. And I got to see Elvis and the Jordanaires and Scotty and DJ. What if somebody had tapped me on my shoulder and said, son, you see DJ Fontaine and Scotty Moore and the Jordanaires? You're going to work with them for 40 years. And that the Jordanaires, they're going to be on your first number one record, Older Women. And you see that boy, Elvis Presley, you're going to be his voice in movies. How could I have wrapped my mind around that? Yeah,
I don't know how. You like you say, George Bailey, living the life, getting that opportunity. I want to tell you this, and this is something maybe you get, but when I think about some of the recording artists and the music they put out, and I enjoy music a lot. We played a lot here on our station, and I listen to it. And you give a lot of pleasure to people to be able to listen to these. So this is something they enjoy. And I'll tell you, my favorite song that you do is the song Personally. You did a version. It was already a hit for Carla Bonoff in 82, but you came back the next year, and I totally prefer your version over that one. It's a good song by her, but it is one of my favorite songs. So thank you for that. And that's not the only one. I like all your music. But what does it make you feel like to know that you give that to people when you get that opportunity?
Well, it makes me feel like if I do something that the folks like, you know, then that's what it's all about. And I'm telling you, when I did The King Is Gone and that guy played that record, and I mean, that turned my life upside down. I mean, like instantly. And I mean, my connection to Elvis Presley still to this day has not stopped. It never stops. And I'm glad it doesn't. I just love being associated with Elvis, and a lot of people say, they tell me you impersonate Elvis, and I go, I'm a country singer. I said, the last thing I want to do is wear a jumpsuit and dye my hair black. I said, I'm so glad that you associate me with Elvis. I mean, who to be associated with more than Elvis Presley? And so I don't take offense to that. I take joy to that because I'm his biggest fan. My sister would bring Linda Sue. That's her name. I've never called her Linda Sue Michael because she loved Little Richard's Tutti Frutti. All we know her by is Tootie. So I'm having breakfast with her this morning. She's 84 years old now, but she used to bring home all these records, Fats Domino, Little Richard, and all these platters, everybody. But one day she brought a record home, Hound Dog and Don't Be Cruel in 1956. And I played Hound Dog so much, my mother, she was getting ready to go to work, and she took that needle off of that little old record player, and she said, "You ain't going to listen to that no more." She got in the cab and went to work, and I flipped the record over, and it was Don't Be Cruel, and I swear I ain't been the same since.
You know, that record for the longest time held the record for the longest run at number one up until, I think, like late 80s, early 90s. You know, the Elvis Presley song you're talking about, Don't Be Cruel and Hound Dog, what a debut, basically, in his career, early in his career when he put Heartbreak Hotel and all those hits out. I was telling you about him supposedly bringing Mystery Train by the radio station. We dropped it off, drove in, and got out of a pickup truck, and the DJ told me that years later, and it's interesting. I don't think Elvis could have imagined it when he was delivering records that he'd become what he was either.
Well, you know, when he did the Grand Ole Opry, now this is a historical fact. October the 12th, 1954, he and they wouldn't let him do That's All Right, Mama. They told him that was too pop. Well, it sounded just like Blue Moon of Kentucky, the B-side.
Yeah.
But Bill Monroe had written, you know, Blue Moon of Kentucky. So it was that old Nashville guard, you know, he was different. I don't have to tell you how he was different, because he was different. He didn't just stand in 1 4-foot circle, and, you know, he was all over the stage. And when he come off, Scotty said, "Ronnie, when we walked off that stage," he walked up to the guy that was running the Grand Ole Opry, and that guy literally told us that to go back and drive trucks. And he said, "I never will forget that." Said Elvis went in the dressing room. He was so disheartened, he ripped his shirt off and threw it in the garbage can. And Scotty said, "Now, I'll make a little light of that." He said, "If I knew he was going to be Elvis, I would have got that shirt."
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Give me something.
But Ernest Tubb come in the dressing room and said, "Son, you're just different. It's okay to be different." He said, "I tell you what." He said, "I understand they wouldn't let you do That's All Right, Mommy, your new record." He said, "No, so they wouldn't." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you walk across the street to my record shop, Ernest Tubbs' record shop, and you come up and do my Midnight Jamboree, you and the boys, and you perform your new record. And I want you to know this for a historical fact. I worked with Scotty Moore for 40 years, and he said, Ronnie, every year till he died, he sent Ernest Tubb a Christmas card for being nice to him."
Yeah, I've heard stories like that. Yeah, golly.
Well, Ernest Tubb was a good friend of mine, and I want you to know he was exactly that way. He was so nice to me, and some of the things that he told me, yeah, I still carry with me to this day, Michael, and that's God's truth. So I get that, and I'm so proud that he did that for Elvis, Scotty, and Bill, and let them perform That's All Right, Mama at the Midnight Jamboree, because I performed there too when, you know, when it was still there in the early 70s.
Well, you're getting to come to Tennessee. I don't know how you guys are going to get all this stuff in one show. You got so many great songs, and as Paulette has done so much good music with Highway 101 and Jeff Bates to add to it. I know it's going to be a great night.
Well, we're going to have fun. Everywhere I go, I have fun. I was in Bowling Green, Kentucky, Saturday night at the old Capitol Theater. And by the way, my dad took me there 71 years ago. I was 5 years old to a movie, and I remember it like it was yesterday. So I just love coming to these old theaters. And you know, it, to me, that's Americana. Because 100 years ago, that's all people had to do on the weekends, go to the movies. I love it.
We look forward to seeing you Saturday night. Thank you so much for your time, Ronnie, and the music. We look forward to it.
Well, Michael, I hope I didn't talk your ears off.
No.
I just did the Ray Stevens show, and the producer said, before it went out, said, Ronnie, would you talk to Ray? We can't get nobody to talk to him. And I said, I ain't got no problem with that. Halfway through the interview, Ray goes, you sure do talk a lot. I said, well, Ray, your producer told me to talk to you a lot. Want to come out here? And Ray goes, yeah, but you talk a lot.
Yeah. Hey, we've enjoyed it. I'd love to have you on again. We appreciate you doing it today, and we look forward to it again Saturday night in Tennessee.
Michael, I'm glad your grandfather started that radio station. I love it.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for what you do, and we'll talk to you this weekend.
Thank you, brother.
Take care. The one and only Ronnie McDowell with us, coming to Tennessee, the Red, White, and Blue Tour.
I was 6 years old when I first heard him sing. And somehow I knew from that moment on that it would be a lifetime thing. And I'd stand in front of a mirror day and night, and I'd listen to every one of his records, and I'd repeat every word and every note until I finally got it right. And I was determined that I'd wait for the day that I could stand and sing in front of an audience, and maybe someone would come up to me and say, you know, you sound just like Elvis. There was a man who gave the world his song, and the world stood still to hear him sing. A simple man who took his faith alone, while all the world proclaimed him king. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign, and the crown on his head will remain. From a working man to royalty to everlasting fame, the king is gone, yeah, the king is gone, but long live his name. A man who tasted sweet success, but still gave his hand to help a friend. A loving man who shared his happiness. Now the king is gone, but there was a man. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign. And the crown on his head, oh, will remain. From a working man to royalty to everlasting fame, the king is gone,
king is gone.
Yeah, the king is gone, long live his name. Yeah, the king is gone,
king.
Oh, Francisco, long live his name. Goodbye, Elvis. We'll miss you.
The Wake Up Call. The Wake Up Call.